Cape Talk.
Call 021-446-0567.
All right, 12 minutes past six. We kick off this Saturday morning with my top three picks of things to do in and around the Western Cape. If you're at a loose end, these are some suggestions that I've hunted out for you. We're going to start with the Investec Cape Town Art Fair, which actually kicked off yesterday. It's taking place digitally for the first time, runs until tomorrow. Joining me on the line is Head of VIP and Partnerships at Investec Cape Town Art Fair, Sophie Lalonde. Very good morning to you, Sophie. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Let's talk first of all about some of the challenges of the last 18 months, and of course the challenges that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought upon the art world.
Hi, Sarah Jane.
Hi.
Being an events company, we usually host an annual event in February for the Investec Cape Town Art Fair, and we've had to postpone it this year to February 2022. And in the meantime, we decided to host a digital event, and we launched yesterday. It's been a great success, and I think the digital event is something that we're going to use for future physical events as well, and maybe even throughout the year. I think all the events industry has been very quiet the last 18 months, so it's nice to finally host something, even if it is digital.
Tell me, Sophie, what were the lessons that you learnt from last year?
I think for us, going digital was a natural evolution for us, but COVID made us speed up that evolution much faster than we anticipated. So I think for us, the lesson is digital is not it's not an alternative to the physical, but it's in addition to.
How does one navigate? I've been pondering this the whole week. How does one navigate a digital art fair? Because one would think, oh gosh, but part of the joy of going to an art fair is that you get to, you know, sort of be in that atmosphere of art and see how it's been sort of curated and all that sort of thing. So how does it work online?
So to access the site is very easy. You just go to our website and this. Artfair.co.za, put in your email address, you'll be sent a verification code, and it's very easy access. And on it, you'll find all of our participating galleries, which is 53, both locally and local and international galleries. But there's also other sections that we've put in to make it more engaging for visitors. So there's an event section. So you'll find all events in local galleries and museums, and an insight section, which is a sort of educationally focused area where we've got art professionals talking about their highlights and favorite artworks on the platform, or inside information on some of the local museums here in Cape Town. So we've really tried to make it as dynamic, exciting, and fun as possible for a viewer. It's very different to physical, but I think it opens you up to see artists, galleries that maybe you wouldn't have been able to see in person. So there's a sort of broader offering that we can give.
Yeah, which I think a lot of people actually who would traditionally be seen in person, artists and that sort of thing and performers say that, yes, it's the downside of not being in person, but the reach that they are able to achieve digitally is broader, as you say. What might the reopening of the physical art fair look like?
Well, we're hoping to do the physical fair in February, and maybe just in a slightly different way, with broader corridors, with time slots for when you come in, that sort of thing. So physically, but with the appropriate safety measures in place.
Got it. All right. So the art fair kicked off yesterday. It's taking place today and tomorrow. How can people get tickets? What do they need to do? How do they get online and start viewing that art?
So there's no tickets, and it's completely free of charge. You simply have to go to the website, investeccapetownartfair.co.za, click on the big button that says enter here, pop in your email address, you'll be sent a verification email, and you pop in the code and you're in, and you have access until midnight on Sunday.
Midnight Sunday, fantastic. Sophie, great to have you with us. Thanks very much for joining us. Sophie Lalonde is the head of VIP and partnerships at the Investec Cape Town Art Fair, a free event happening online until tomorrow midnight. Just go to the Investec Cape Town Art Fair website and click enter, as easy as that. All right, next up, the Two Oceans Aquarium is hosting two fantastic family-friendly events today. To tell us more about them is Renee Louvner, who's the communications and media executive at the Two Oceans. Morning, Renee.
Good morning, Esther.
How are you?
I'm good. Getting ready for Gush Bash.
Yeah, listen, there's so much that you're doing and it's fantastic. You've got two events. So you've got the Trash Bash Cleanup, which is happening at Monwa BC Beach this morning. And then there's another one that we'll talk about later, the Captain Fan Plastic. Tell us about the beach cleanup then. This is part of, you always dedicated to the environment and doing these cleanups.
So today is actually International Coastal Cleanup Day.
Ah.
Today they've been celebrated for more than 30 years. And it started in the U.S. as a very small little initiative, and it's grown to a worldwide campaign. There are millions of volunteers that go out every year to clean up not just beaches but also waterways and the community around them. And then all of that information gets tallied into a central database. So if all the trash that's collected, people have collection. We used to have the cards, but now we're using various apps to do that. And yeah, Monwa BC Beach is a special one for us. We love going there and involving the community from around there and getting people to coming from far and wide to come and help clean the beach.
I have to say, I went for the first time, much to my shame, to Monwa BC Beach during the last Christmas season. Oh, it's glorious down there, isn't it? It's just the view is spectacular. It's a beautiful beach. It just we sort of were kicking ourselves for having not gone there before.
It is a lovely, lovely stretch of beach. And unfortunately, it's also a very dirty one. So
yeah,
it's something that we like focusing on. And in the past, when we were able to do trash bash and cleanups more readily, that was definitely one of our focus beaches. And it will probably remain one of our focus beaches going forward. And as I say, it's a great place to go and get the community involved, get outside. And today is going to be a glorious day. So it's just perfect to get the kids out there and get them outside and teach them a little bit about the environment and our place within that marine sector. Why is it that we are cleaning the beach? Why is it that we are here today to make a difference?
What do people, if people are listening in now and they think this sounds like a good thing that we can do, we can get the kids outside, what do they need to bring with them?
Obviously, because of the cleanup, we're trying to encourage people to use reusable gloves and bring your sunscreen and your hat and water in a reusable bottle. Remember to wear your mask. And then what we will supply is we have a whole bunch of buckets. We try to not use the plastic bags for the collection. So we will give you a bucket and we ask you to download the marine debris tracker on your phone and use that as your collection, your data point. The tracker has the beach co-ops list on there, and that includes the Dirty Dozen. And the Dirty Dozen is something that we focus on because for our local beaches, it's quite important for us to know what kind of litter we are finding. And the Dirty Dozen is basically 12 items that's normally quite prevalent on beaches around Cape Town.
What's in that list? I'm interested to know, Renee. What's in that list? Stompies.
Stompies. and things like your plastic bags, bottles, plastic bottles, straws, lollipop sticks, earbud sticks. Millions of earbud sticks
sure.
that we are finding in our cleanups. And people think if they put it down the drain, or flush it down the loo, it's gone. not. It ends up in the sea. You know, I can't tell you. And then I have these people going on about how the kids are eating suckers on the beach and just dropping their sticks. And I'm like, no, those are earbud sticks. They are not lollipop sticks.
Yeah, that would be an awful lot of lollipops being eaten. And I'm just not sure that could be reconciled with the lollipop sales happening in South Africa. Yeah.
No, earbuds.
Earbuds, there we go. Yeah. That's the answer. All right, and then just quickly, Renau, do you want to touch on the Captain Fan Plastic, your second event that's happening, also in honour of International Coastal Cleanup Day? What is this? This sounds right up my alley, or rather right up my daughter's alley, should I say.
Captain Fan Plastic is a wonderful initiative. He's a captain with a oak, you know, a bit of a pirate. He's a pirate to make sure that kids learn about the marine environment and they love the marine environment and look after it. And they are launching an audiobook today at the aquarium. The actual event has been sold out, but you can go and join the free event by the virtual event, and that you can do via Quickit. Just look at the audiobook launch, search that on Quickit. And then Zelani Mahola is joining the pirates, and she's going to, there's some readings and there's some interactives and things like that. And it's an audiobook that is specifically focused on the little ones and, getting that passion going in them for the environment. And the proceeds of this event goes to Captain Fan Plastic and also the Two Oceans Aquarium Education Foundation, which is the aquarium's NPO PBO partner. Both of these organizations are doing so much for raising awareness about marine environment issues, mental issues, as well as getting that passion. You know, we want passionate people, and for us to have passionate people, we need passionate kids.
Yeah, absolutely, indeed. Okay, fantastic stuff. Thanks very much, Renee. Two events there at the Two Oceans Aquarium, or organised by the Two Oceans Aquarium. There's the Trash Bash Cleanup at Montwabisi Beach this morning in honour of International Coastal Cleanup Day. And then Captain Fan Plastic's Sounds for the Ocean. You can book tickets at Quickit for Captain Fan Plastic. And you can also go to the website www.captainfanplastic.com. All right, now, if it's music that you are after, why not get yourself down to the Baxter Theatre's Baxter Garden, where cellist and composer Dr. Dogozani Mhlambi will be performing at the first concert of his homecoming tour after his stint performing in France over the past couple of years. He'll be presenting his new material that he created in Gay Paris, as well as some of the favourites from his debut album. I'm absolutely delighted to say that Dr. Mhlambi joins me on the line this morning. Hello, welcome home.
Good morning.
Morning. Listen, it's so fantastic. We are delighted that you are back. We are delighted that the Baxter is open to receive you. So two wonderful things this morning. Listen, you've performed all over the world. How does it feel to be back?
There's a special feeling about it because, you know, I think everyone always longs for an audience in their home country. I think that's one thing one always longs for. And so this is quite a privilege for me.
You have performed all over. I mean, you are a global musical citizen. How do audiences compare? Because they do, don't they? Depending on which country you're in, some might be more vocal, others more reserved. How do they compare all over the world to home?
I think cultures are different, like you're saying, and some cultures are more noisy. Some cultures tend to be more concert-like, resemble more a theatre concert experience. Some cultures tend to be like, they want to clap hands and they want to sing and they want to do all these things, sing along as you're singing. I think there's a difference also at home because of the language issue, you know. And so when you're singing, most of my music is usually in singing in the language of isiZulu. And there's a difference singing in isiZulu in a context where you're understood and singing in isiZulu in France, where it's a completely foreign language.
for you, and as I say, you've been overseas. I mean, throughout your career, you've spent an awful lot of time overseas, but particularly in the last couple of years, you've been based in Paris. What's been the highlight of your time? And is Paris for creatives? I mean, it's the dream, isn't it? It's just a place where you are inundated with inspiration and fellow creatives and musos all just over there doing your creative thing in Paris. It sounds like an absolute dream.
It's definitely a musician's city, because there are just simply so many musicians from simply all over the world who play all kinds of weird and wonderful instruments. But also, what you notice is that a lot of that infrastructure is there and set up is there because of the government support for the arts and the role that the arts are placed within the social consciousness of the people.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm sensing that perhaps that's a little nod to our own arts and culture minister, Natiem Tetwa, to perhaps redress the balance slightly.
Yes. Well, I think our culture is that the thing is, we come from a culture of inclusion. So where we had this thing where there was one culture that was given prominence for such a long time, that our redress is about including everyone, is about exploring diversity. Whereas other people can kind of go on and they can claim a particular tradition as the tradition of their country and their people, their composers, so to speak. And something that we ourselves as a fairly young democracy are still working towards.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking about the inspiration of being in a city like Paris and the creativity, where are you drawing your inspiration from at the moment? And compared to perhaps your debut album, that your most recent material, are you moving away? What's been the growth and the development for you musically?
I think one of the things is that the sound is definitely drawing. I'm beginning to think a lot more with the kora and other instruments like that, because, as you know, the kora is a West African instrument, but it's achieved international scale of popularity now that it's incorporated into jazz, incorporated into world music and other kinds of weird and wonderful ways in which the instrument is used. So it gets you to think about an African sound as well, but from coming no longer just from a West African point of view, but as an international sound. And so I think that's one thing that is definitely a highlight in my soundscape.
Dogazani, I'm fascinated to know how your relationship with the cello began, and specifically I have a personal interest in that, because I played the cello for 5 years when I was at school, and I remember it's such a long story, but my mother had gone to school with the British cellist Jacqueline Dupré. And
oh, wow.
I remember, and I remember listening to a piece of music that she had played and thinking, that's the most beautiful instrument I've ever heard. I want to play that. And when it came to being at school and them saying, we were very lucky, and they said, you know, what would you like to learn? And I pointed at the cello and I said, that. And I think in my mind I had that I would become, you know, the black Jacqueline Dupré. Never happened. What was it? How did your relationship begin with the cello?
I think it's a similar kind of romantic story.
Yeah.
I think everyone has a love affair with the cello at some point in their lives.
Yeah.
When I heard it, I was quite intrigued by the music of Bach, particularly the Bach cello suite. And that was something that was very interesting to me, and what he was doing in terms of compositional material with the cello suite. And so, and as a result of that, also, it's meant that I'm always, even as I'm developing my own compositions and my own creativity, I'm always looking back to a tradition. And so looking back to this classical tradition that I was trained in, and thinking about the procedure of this training and the unlearning that I'm also undergoing as a process of finding my own sound and my own way of making music. And so, and I find that condition very empowering in terms of my creative flow. So because the cello and the classical tradition is something that is now embedded in my own creativity, I must also find a way of using it that speaks to my own perspective and not necessarily where the instrument comes from and how it was used for a very long time.
Dokozani, people are going to be delighted, first of all, to see you, and second of all, of course, to get out, and third of all, to get out to the Baxter, which is such an institution. What can we expect from your performance?
You can expect a program initially. At the beginning, we're going to acknowledge all our early African composers, people such as John Knox Bokwe, people like Dio Soga, who composed all these wonderful anthems that we're going to play with piano and cello. And then after that, we're going to have Keso Seti, who's an Afrofuturistic soul singer, who kind of breathes a different light in the music. And then after that, I am back on stage, this time doing some of my new solo compositions. And yeah, and having a small surprise for listeners in terms of a piano that is also accompanying me, which is a rather strange piano, which is not tuned the conventional way.
Okay. Good stuff. Listen, if you want to get down to the Baxter, it's happening tonight. What time do people need to be there, and how can we get tickets, Dokozani?
The show starts at 3 p.m.
Yep.
Tickets are available at webtickets.co.za.
There we go. Webtickets.co.za, 3 p.m., 100 rand each, 50 rand for students and pensioners for the homecoming tour of Dr. Dokozani Mhlambe. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. So looking forward to catching the performance. Absolutely fantastic. How exciting. That's the cello is, yeah. Can I? Yeah, it is. It is probably my favourite instrument. A little bit biased because I played it for a while. There we go. That's my top three picks of things that you can get up to today. We started off with the Investec Cape Town Art Fair digital event. You can go to investeccapetownartfair.co.za. Free event. Click enter. You're in. Second up was the Two Oceans Aquarium. Two fantastic family-friendly events. The Trash Bash Beach Cleanup happening at Monwabisi Beach this morning. And then Captain Fan Plastics Sounds for the Ocean. Tickets available at Quicket and also CaptainFanPlastic.com. And then if it's music that you're after, this is just so up my alley, then South African cellist and composer who we just spoke to, Dr. Dokozani Mhlambe, live at the Baxter Theatre at 3 p.m. this afternoon.